I am mad. Yes, I am mad. Oh, my goodness sakes, I am mad. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. I am mad. Can you imagine anyone who would say that they were mad about anything? A couple days ago, here in Southern California, and in the surrounding states in Mexico, 5 million people were without electricity from 6 to 6. My goodness sakes! And 5 million people got along just fine. Oh, they had some problems here and there, but they got along just fine. Well, it so happens that yesterday, or rather Friday, the meter reader came by to read the meters. And as he stopped at the homes of residents nearby, he was beat up by them by saying, "I am mad. Why did the electricity get turned off? Why didn't we have electricity? What is going on here? What's all that all about? That's terrible. That's terrible." And the meter reader said, "I know it's terrible. I didn't like it either, you know. And I'm supposed to have the day off today, but I got to work today because we have this problem and we have to take care of our things and we have to do our duties and we have to do it." And so it wasn't very nice for me either, but I'm not mad. I just take it in stride. "Well, I'm mad. I'm mad," the neighbor said. And the meter reader said, "Well, that's the way it is sometimes. That's just the way it is." And I say, if you ever say, "I am mad," you are saying, "I hate you." You are saying, "Life's terrible." You're saying, "This is a rotten world we live in." And who would want to say things like that? Who would want to empower those conditions? We've learned in our philosophy, in our psychology, in our life, that a kind word, a good word, a happy word, brings about kind, good, and happy experiences. And an ugly word, a hateful word, a mean word, brings about ugly, hateful, and mean experiences. It just continues what you might have been experiencing. And if you ever allow yourself, or if I ever allow myself, which is where the whole story begins and ends, if I ever allow myself to hate anybody, oh, my goodness, what goes on inside of me? Inside of me is all sorts of rebellion. Inside of me is all sorts of confusion. Inside of me is all sorts of unhappiness. If I allow myself to be unhappy with any other person on the face of the earth, especially if I allow myself to be unhappy with me, I'm the one who's going to pay a very heavy burden, a very heavy price. I'm the one who's going to have to live with my nerves all shattered. I'm going to be the one who has to live with my vibrations of my body all out of balance. I'm the one who's going to have to suffer the consequences. Do I really want to do that? Do I really want to suffer the consequences for something so silly that I could completely change by just stopping and saying, "There now is peace on earth, and it began with me." Peace, balance, love, wonder, all good. There now is peace, balance, love, wonder, all good on earth, and it began with me. Right now, right this minute, something comes to your attention, or my attention, something comes to my attention that's not very nice, and I immediately say, "All is in balance. All is in divine order. All is in peace. All is good." And when I say that, then all is good, all is balance, all is in divine order. But when I don't say that, then I am unhappy inside of me. I have all of my organ action functions discombobulated. And is that what I want to do? Heavenly days, no. I want to live in a world of peace and harmony and love. To live in a world of peace and harmony and love, I must think a world of peace and harmony and love. To live in a world of joy, I must think joyful thoughts. to live in a world of abundance, I must think abundance thoughts. Hey, that's a good idea. I like that one. To live in a world of abundance, I must think abundance thoughts. If I think debt thoughts, if I think poverty thoughts, if I think thoughts of limitation, those are going to bring limitation into my world because that's what I'm thinking about. Whatever I empower with my thought, I bring forth in my world. Yes, I do. People try to say that dogs miss their master when their master dies, or when they lose their master for some reason or other, go to a new master. Well, what a dog really does, they miss the person, that's true, but what they really miss is his attention. And the minute that dog is given loving attention by others, the minute that dog is given loving presence by others, that dog very quickly acclimates to the change and adjusts to the new regime, the new home, as any one of us would do, and is in perfect balance. But we are the ones who mourn. We are the ones who feel sorry for someone who's missing. We are the ones who grieve. Dogs don't grieve. Dogs only miss someone until someone else comes to fill the void. We only miss someone until someone else comes to fill the void. If you grieve for someone around a dog, the dog is going to sense your grieving, and he's going to feel your unhappiness. Oh, it's true. He's going to wonder, where did his master go? My dog wonders where I'm going if I ever leave him at home alone. And I tell Ellen, I want to leave Rex at home alone as often as I can. I want him used to the idea that just because I go out of the house or go someplace, it's not that he has to always go along. Oh, he wants to. Oh, yes, he does. He loves to be with me. He loves to go with me. But if I train him to stay at home and enjoy the house by himself, not take care of it, just enjoy it. Not protect it, just enjoy it. Not be my watchdog, just be my love dog. And he does that. And he does it beautifully. And I say to him, okay, Rex, you lay down now and have a good time. I'll be back in just a few minutes. Or however long, a couple days, a week, whatever it is that I'm going to be gone, and you just be a good boy and enjoy yourself. And so I go away. Well, it's mealtime, and I'm not home. And Ellen is a very dutiful lady, dutiful. She realizes it's his supper time. And so she comes over to my house, and she feeds Rex his supper. He is so happy to see her. He loves his supper. He is so happy to see the food. He loves his supper. He is so happy to see Ellen. He loves to see people. And then Ellen says, okay, now you've had your supper. Now I'm going to take you up to the house with me. And then after dinner up there, I'll bring you back down here and put you here, and then I'll go to my house. And Rex says, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's very nice of you to be so thoughtful of me. And then she says, now, you just stay here. Your dad will be long back very shortly, so just enjoy yourself. Well, if Ellen were to say, now, don't you worry, everything's going to be all, and if she were frightful and fearful in her own self, Rex would be frightful and fearful in himself. But because Ellen knows that every thought she has in her mind is what her world is, she keeps thoughts beautiful, harmonious, joyful, peaceful, wonderful, loving all of the time. She knows that this is the way to live. She knows that these harmonious thoughts are going to bring harmonious actions in her world. Ellen has two baby kittens in her house. And at first she was thinking, gee, they're going to be quite demanding. And they were. They were demanding because they were so lovable she couldn't take her eyes off of them. And she had to continue watching him. And she continued finding him lovable. And every time she turns around, they become more and more lovable. And then they lay down in front of her on their back with their paws up in the air saying, "I'm in paradise. I'm in heaven." And Ellen says, "Wow." And Ellen doesn't want to come up to the monastery for meals. She doesn't want to leave her beautiful embassy because she is surrounded by her two kittens that are so glorious, so wonderful, so fantastic. Well, yes. Who created that world? Ellen did. What kind of a world is she going to always create? A world of harmony and peace and love and joy and happiness. What kind of world do I create for Rex? A world of balance. Okay, Rex, see you in a bit. And I'm off doing whatever errands I want to run. I don't want to have Rex with me all the time because if I go into town and he has to sit in the car and it's hot, it's not pleasant. It's not right. And I wouldn't do that to anybody. And certainly not to Rex, whom I love so dearly. And so I leave him at home. And I know at home he's going to be a lot happier than he would be sitting in a hot car in the hot sun in a hot parking lot someplace. Now, we have to make up our mind. It's not a matter that we're punishing them. It's not a matter that they have to do something they don't want to do. It's a matter that we tell them to do something that they do want to do. Now you stay and be a good boy and have a lot of fun, and I'll be back in a little while. And so it is. We're the creator of our world. Hate, unhappiness, all those sort of things don't have any place in our life. Our life is filled with love, joy, peace, and harmony. Our life is filled with all that is good because we choose to have it be so. And we choose to have it be so by every thought we think, every word we speak, and all the things that we are. And truly, nothing else matters. Have a good day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you. That's the way I want to build my world. How about you? Have a good day.